The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Nosebleeds, WFUV Sports' home podcast for all things Major League Baseball and the Yankees and Mets. I am Tucker Austin, joined today by Anthony Smith and Nathan Rogers. Guys, we're just less than 4 days away from the trade deadline. Things are heating up a little bit in the trade market. But for the two New York teams, they seem to be in a bit of a tough spot. But really quickly, before we get going, how are you guys doing? Nathan, we could start with you because it is bright and early, 7 a.m. on the West Coast for you.
Yeah, it's bright and early, but hey, what's better than waking up and talking about MLB baseball? Come on. So, no, I'm doing good. I've been, swimming a lot. You know, West Coast summer has been great. One of my buddies from Fordham is going to visit me next week. I went to a Giants game on Tuesday. They lost. I was part of the shirtless crew in the bleachers, you know? So, no, but it's been fun. It's been a good summer. Excited to get back to work in person at the station in a few weeks.
Is this one of the best times of the year in the major league season? The trade deadline's approaching. As far as, you know, personal stuff, got work after this, so not really excited for that, but only a 5-hour shift. And just saw the new Spider-Man movie last night, so life is pretty good, and my first week back and just trying to get back into the flow of things, not only at the station, but here in just terms of working in my hometown, and excited for the start of the new year as well.
Vibes all around this summer. The end of July, the last day of July. I can't believe we're already here, but, you know, let's get into it. I think, you know, we've gotten to a point in the season with the Mets where it feels like week over week we keep doing nosebleeds and there keeps being not that much to talk about when it comes to the New York Mets. So I suppose we'll start here. The Mets dropped a series to the Dodgers at home and then won a series against the Atlanta Braves. One of those was a doubleheader with that they split. They also won the first game 14-3. They also won yesterday against the Miami Marlins, game one of a four-game set. But at this point, the results don't really feel like they matter too much. They're sellers at the deadline. They've said this already. They've got Freddie Peralta likely to be moved. Clay Holmes, also a trade candidate, even though he's been injured all year. The Mets just got put in such an awful spot by how they performed in the early part of the season that now these guys, like Clay Holmes, was supposed to be a long-term project turning a reliever into a starter, and now it looks like they may have to let him go at the deadline. Luke Weaver also among them who may be moved. AJ Minter, Brooks Raley as well. Luke Weaver, an interesting case though, because he did spend time with the Yankees, and I've heard rumors here and there about a possible return to pinstripes for Mr. Weaver. There's only a few guys who are protected, Juan Soto being one of them, very obviously. Carson Benj, AJ Ewing, and a bunch of the other younger guys, Nolan McClain as well, all off the table for the Mets. Unless you guys have something, I'm not really sure there's much else to say about this Mets team at this point in the season. I've for the past month, I've been trying to rationalize how they could get back into it. But, I mean, do either of you guys have anything for this Mets team? Maybe an ode to next season.
I feel like it's like every week we just have the same conversation about the Mets. Like, it's just nothing is changing at all. So I guess it's good that they're going to be selling at the trade deadline. It's just the move that they have to make. And it's unfortunate for guys like Clay Holmes specifically, because you mentioned the move from reliever to starter, and you wonder if he goes to a new team, if they're going to try and continue that same project or if they're going to push him back to a reliever spot. Interesting enough, it was so late last night that I just forgot about it, but I remember scrolling through Instagram. AJ Minter actually was on the move already. He got traded to Minnesota last night, And I just did a check on that because I thought I saw it, but I thought maybe I was crazy. So the Mets are already moving pieces and getting rid of a good reliever in AJ Minter, and we'll see what else they do today or in these next couple of days. But should be interesting because they've got a lot of good players that could be good role players on some good postseason teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Mets have been the biggest disappointment in baseball, in my opinion. I mean, or one of the most. And to see them be sellers at the deadline with Juan Soto, I feel like he's not really the problem either. I feel like at the beginning of the year, you can make that argument. And, there was a lot of like clips on Instagram of him not playing so well or even not playing or like not, running hard around the bases and stuff. But I really don't think if you're going to pinpoint a problem on this Mets team that you could put it on Soto. And, Freddy Peralta hasn't had a good season. He has like a 5 ERA. He was nearly in tears on his last start. He basically told the reporters, like, I let the organization down. And so I think the Mets should look at the Brewers for Freddy Peralta, So I think if anyone's going to take a chance on Freddy Peralta, it would be Milwaukee, but for the Mets in general, like we said, like Clay Holmes is a very interesting, piece point for them. Same thing with Lindor, although he's untouchable, obviously. But it's just been a very interesting season for them in the point that they just can't provide enough stability to make it through.
Yeah, and you know what? Lindor probably should be untouchable. The Mets should be trying to figure out a way to have Soto and Lindor exist in the same clubhouse. But I mean, like a majority of the conversation over the last few weeks has been whether or not the Mets will deal Lindor because he's not, it's not officially on their protected list. Maybe they don't really want to move him, but like technically he's on the table. So anything that means is on the table for Lindor.
They should
But then
definitely
to,
be listening, that's for sure.
yeah, I think so. But then to your point, Anthony, thank you for bringing that up about Minter, because I was not aware of this either. This was news that came out last night. Interesting from the Minnesota Twins, who you did not really expect to be buyers at this deadline, but they came out pretty like about a week ago and said that we're not going to be selling. So that kind of took Ryan Jeffers off the table in terms of the Yankees. If we want to switch gears to the Bronx. The Yankees are 3.5 games out of first place, trailing the Tampa Bay Rays still. But they're still in a pretty solid position in terms of the wild card. They're 5.5 games up on the last wild card spot and 3.5 games clear of the Boston Red Sox. Yankees in that first wild card position. But now with a guy like Jeffers off the table, he was somebody the Yankees were looking at in like a right-handed catcher. Hunter Goodman's name was also thrown around a little bit, and it seems like the Rockies are kind of perennial sellers. But now the Yankees are in conversations in sort of different places. I saw a few reports on Twitter and on MLB Network last night, the Yankees checking in on Tyler Stevenson, also checking in on Adley Rutschman, which I think would be a really interesting addition if they could manage to get him out of Baltimore. I mean, Rutschman himself, he's a really solid defensive catcher, and you kind of solve that issue of the left or right-handedness because Rutschman is a switch hitter, so it's one less thing to worry about when you're building a lineup. But before we get to deadline, let's talk about where the Yankees are at right now. Last week they had a home series against the Pirates. They won that one. It was another doubleheader in there. They split that, but they won the series 2-1. Then they went to Philly and swiped the first two games off Philadelphia before losing the last one pretty badly, 11-4, but still a one series is a one series. Then continuing the road trip, they went to Chicago. They played the White Sox and they split a four-game set that really was just about two or three things going their way, away from being a four-game sweep. They lost the final two games of that series in extra innings and had plenty of opportunities to win both of those last two games. Their bullpen just got really strung out during that series in the first two games. I'm specifically thinking about there was the game where Bednar pitched. I think it was game one. Bednar came in to pitch, and then in game two, he was forced to pitch again because of a late issue with Anthony Volpe, a dropped fly ball that caused Bednar to then be used in that game. Probably one of the reasons why we didn't see Bednar later on in that series. For me, though, this Yankee team is incredibly injured, so I wasn't expecting much out of a road trip. I was happy they won the series against Philadelphia, and to be perfectly honest, I'm happy that they managed to even split against the White Sox, because they've been one of those surprise teams this season themselves and the Nationals in terms of hitting. But then the White Sox, where the Nationals don't have the pitching, the White Sox do have a little bit of the pitching. So they've been a pretty solid a solid squad so far this year. And with as many injuries the Yankees have, I'm pretty happy with a split. But I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that White Sox series. Nathan, we can start with you this time. What did you take away from this series? Is it as much of a problem that the Yankees split with the White Sox as it might seem? Or is it more like... do you kind of like more agree with me where you're like, you're happy with a split with the guys that the Yankees have right now?
Oh, I agree with what you said, Tuck. And we talked about this for like 2 seconds yesterday over the phone, but well, also I'm very sad. I haven't been able to do the Yankees beat in a little bit. So I'm excited.
Hey, but you'll be back. You'll be back in mid August.
And I'll be back with a vengeance. No, but I really think for where the Yankees are right now, I think splitting that series is huge. And, you know, the Yankees will be fine. I think as long as, you know, Ben Rice and the crew keep the ship afloat while Judge and Bellinger kind of rest up and come back soon, like that's all you can ask for. And I think what the Yankees really need to focus on before this trade deadline, because we know GM Brian Cashman's he's not going to stay quiet for this trade deadline. You know, that there's no question about that. And so I think they really need to bolster up their bullpen, because I think the Yankees are a clean product. They're just not polished yet. And I think, you know, you're second in the AL, AL East, right? They're like 3.5 behind Tampa Bay, or no more. 3.5?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's 3.5.
Yeah. Like they'll be fine. They'll be fine. And I think, you know, for Yankees fans, anything but perfection is sadness. And I have grown up an Oakland A's fan. So I have a little bit of more of a realistic approach to this, and I think they'll be fine. You know, they're definitely going to be good enough to make it out with pitching without Judge. And I think, yeah, splitting that series is great. You know, Schlittler's been great. And I think that just to make themselves a more of a finished product, I think with Bednar, because he signed that 1 year contract last year, he's coming up. I think, you know, you got to look at, I mean, I saw something about maybe the Padres moving off Mason Miller. That would be insane. I don't know how true that is. But I think you really got to focus on getting some more elite arms in the pen.
I think this Yankees team likes to play with my emotions, because I go into the Philadelphia series and it's a tough team to play against a tough Philadelphia crowd, and they take 2 out of 3. So then they go into the White Sox in a tough series, you'd be happy with a split, but then they win the first two, and then they have like such typical Yankee losses in the last two games in extra innings where it's a one-run game and the offense just struggles to come through, and then the defense has a couple of mistakes. So that's just what angers me about the White Sox series, is the fact that they probably should have and could have taken 3 or 4 games and swept the White Sox. But the offense was really the problem. But again, Tucker, to your point, it seems like just a banged up Yankees team, and they're kind of just moving along. And I'd rather them just move along with the pieces they have right now instead of rushing these guys back before it gets to October and then you don't have a fully healthy roster. The starting pitching, though, has looked very good. Nathan mentioned Schlittler. I think Weathers has bounced back into a really good start as well. Cole's starting to bring back a little bit of what we saw in 2024. Fried's making his way back as well. So the starting rotation has been solid, as it's been all year. The bullpen has had some struggles throughout the year, but this series they were a workhorse, so you can't really blame that on them when they just needed to be utilized a lot through this 4-game series, and then they had the 3 before. So I think they'll be just fine going forward on the pitching side. Maybe pick up a couple of bullpen arms. You can never have too much pitchers in October.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the deadline last year, just to as kind of a review, the Yankees, that's when they got David Bednar, was right before the deadline 2025. They also picked up Doval, so they had and also Jake Bird. So they brought in three pitchers for the bullpen last year at the deadline, and two of those guys are still in this bullpen. So I mean, they turned out Bednar turned out great. Doval has been an ongoing struggle for the Yankees. So I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they maybe tried to find a replacement for him. I love the Mason Miller idea, Nathan. It just seems so odd to me because yes, these rumors do exist, and it seems like the Padres will be selling, but I don't understand why. They're a game over 500 and two games out of the wild card. Why is this a team that's trying to sell their best reliever? You know, or like one of the best, if not the best closing pitcher in the league, get an insane run of scoreless appearances to start the year. It just seems odd to me that the Padres would be giving up on this season. So I don't want to bank on the Yankees going after Mason Miller as much as I would like to, just because I don't understand why. I feel like the Padres would need a really, really sweet package to let him go, at least if I'm in that Padres front office, but I'm not inside their heads. So, also at the deadline last year, the Yankees picked up McMahon, still on the team, Ahmed Rosario, still on the team, and those two have become a pretty good platoon tandem. Austin Slater was the only other move from last year, but he is obviously gone. So this year, the Yankees have an opportunity to maybe, I wouldn't say match what they did last year, you know, adding six players and really not trading anybody who was like being used on the roster actively at the major league level. They gave up a lot of prospects last year at the deadline. So for me, I think it's got to be a catcher. It really has to be a catcher. You got to address that. Austin Wells has been in really, really rough at the plate this year, and he's kind of, honestly, in the last couple of series, he's started to find a couple of holes out there. But I mean, the power is not quite back to what we know that Austin Wells has been capable of, and just like the hitting for average has not been his forte this year. And I've also been talking all season about his defense and how it's been kind of a step backwards from what we're used to with him. JC Ascara hasn't gotten as many looks as he did last year in this season, but it's because the Yankees brought in Aly Sanchez for that right-handed bat. And Sanchez was trending in the right direction. You know, he hit that home run in the first game against the White Sox, his first home run of his career. That was a really cool moment. I feel like it had the fan base kind of buzzing a little bit about Aly Sanchez. Maybe the Yankees don't need to go after a right-handed catcher and they could just cruise with Sanchez. But a couple of games later, Sanchez gets stuck in a play in the ninth and tries to pick off a guy at third base. Ball winds up in left field. Yankees wind up losing that game. So I like. There needs to be some kind of defensive consistency at the catcher position, and with better hitting. So I think Adley Rutschman would be the perfect guy to address that problem now that his name has kind of been thrown around with the Yankees. I know the Orioles probably wouldn't be too thrilled about trading in division with the New York Yankees and sending Rutschman straight there. But maybe if they worked in a third team of some kind, they could maybe get the Orioles to kind of move on that. But yeah, Anthony, I'm kind of where you're at. I don't see many moves the Yankees can make to actually make this team any better because of how many guys are injured. It's hard to get a grasp of where the team is at when they're fully healthy. Judge, we're not even really sure on when he's going to be back. The Yankees have been playing that really close to the chest. And it's as annoying as it sounds, especially for Yankee fans. Bellinger is 4-6, so he likely won't be back until September, which, again, that is really tough. But if they can get him back in the earlier part of September and get at least one more month of regular season out of him, any more games out of Bellinger is a better sign for the Yankees. Stanton, it might be even more of a question mark than Judge is right now, which is very concerning, especially at Stanton's age. That question starts to creep in of like, Do we see him play baseball for the Yankees again? I really hope he does because he really figured it out offensively over the past season and a half, and managed to stay healthy for a majority of that time as well. One other name that we didn't mention, Carlos Rodon, should eventually be back in mid-August after another stint on the IL. Getting that other left-handed arm back in the starting rotation, I think, will help the Yankees a lot. But their starters have been really good all season, save for the occasional rough start here and there. And like you guys were saying, the bullpen has been really, really solid. And I think the issue with this White Sox series was just kind of overuse and getting stretched a little bit too thin, plus the offense not really being there. So for me, if there's any move the Yankees can make, it would be at catcher or somewhere where there will be an impact with the bat, more so than the pitching, because they addressed pitching last year at the deadline, and it's mostly worked out. Meanwhile, the hitting still need they got to find something offensively, because otherwise there's going to be a lot more of those, like you said, Anthony, sort of classic Yankee losses of like one run games where it's right in hand late and they can't get away with it. To quote Aaron Boone, it's right there in front of them. But yeah, I like how the Yankees play for the most part. And again, like, yes, it's the Ben Rice show a little bit right now, and yeah, he does still get that production in there. But on the whole, offensively, they got to string some more hits together and start hitting as a unit, more so than a couple of guys putting everything on their shoulders. But I think that pretty much covers where the Yankees are at. They're playing a series against the Cubs now. They stay in Chicago. Their next three will be against the Chicago Cubs. They got Warren later today, Max Fried on Saturday, and Gerrit Cole on Sunday. So definitely the starters they want. And this is a Cubs team that isn't playing to the level that they want to be this year. Really quickly, I want to get your guys' thoughts, maybe predictions on how this series goes to wrap up the road trip. The Yankees could go positive on this road trip. They win this series against Chicago, and I think they're guaranteed to have a winning record on the road here. But Anthony, we could start with you here. Going against the Cubs, it's Shota Imanaga on the mound today for Chicago against Will Warren, game one of the series in just about 4 hours or so. But what do you think the Yankees need to get done against Chicago, against the other Chicago team, this weekend?
I think you got to bounce back and try and take two out of three. A sweep is obviously great, but definitely just try and take two games against a good Chicago team. They got two good starters going on the back end of the three-game set. Will Warren has been inconsistent, but he's delivered some good starts this year, so they're hoping that he can get him one more good one. And then you have the Cole and Fried back-to-back as well. And this Yankee team has surprisingly been really good on the road, better at home, 10 games over 500. On the road, so they're going back into another tough place to play, like in Philadelphia, over at Wrigley Field, and I think just got to take two out of three here, try and get back on track before heading back home and getting some more pieces over at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and like Tucker said, the bullpen's been pretty good for the Yankees. So if you're Will Warren, good news is that you don't really need to be that dominant to come out with a win. And I think, the Yankees really need to, really string some hits together, like Tucker said. And you need that momentum going in, so when your guys come back, because like you said, Bellinger's not gonna be back until like I w maybe like September, like ish, middle of September.
Best case scenario, end of August, but it's probably going to
Yeah,
be early or mid-September.
I would say like September-ish is what I would put it as. So, you gotta have momentum on both sides of the plate before your guys come back. And I think really stringing some hits together, having your starting pitchers, I think when you're in a position where the Yankees are and where, you don't really have to ask that much of your starting pitchers, you just really need some bats. It's not a horrible position. So I think, if they can come out and win this series, that would be an insane momentum for them, and it would be great, especially right before the trade deadline. I mean, I think they would be in a good spot.
Yeah, I like agree with both of you guys. I think it's really important. Maybe this first game, you like you said, Anthony, Will Warren has given them some good starts, but I don't think Friday or I don't think today should be really the objective to win for the Yankees. If they were only going to win two games in this series, I would hope that it was Saturday and Sunday, because I feel like Max Fried and Gerrit Cole really both need that kind of boost to their confidence going into August. Or to start off the month of August. Max Fried has been coming off of an injury at this point in the season now. And Gerrit Cole is really kind of he struggled a bit, and his record has shown it. But if he can get his record back to positive, grab another win, I think it would be really important for the Yankees offense to come through, at least for those two guys on the back end of the weekend, if they can't come through for Warren. But they also got to take advantage of a Chicago Cubs team that has been underachieving pretty much all season. And you got to be able to kind of wipe the slate clean after two extra innings losses against the White Sox. That being said, we've been talking about the bullpen this whole time, and how much they got used in that White Sox series. That puts a lot of pressure on these starting pitchers to try and go as deep as possible in these games against the Cubs. They want to try and give their bullpen at least a little bit of a breather, maybe in this first game. Warren's got some good distance in him when he's working really well. The Yankees don't have an off day before they come back home, so as much rest as they can get their bullpen guys before traveling back to the Bronx, the better. Really quickly before we wrap up the show, I want to talk about the biggest story, I would argue, at the trade deadline. It's Tarek Skubal and the Detroit Tigers. Skubal made what could be his last start in a Tigers uniform at Comerica Park, either yesterday or a couple of days ago. I saw the shots from that game, him leaving the field, tipping his cap to the fans, a standing O in the building. You definitely get the feeling that the fan base feels he may be gone. Again, we can't read minds in that front office, but the Tigers themselves, not in the best position. They're 4.5 games out of the wild card. It's doable, but it's not great with how competitive amongst each other in the middle of the field the American League has been. They are 6.5 games out of their own division, trailing the Minnesota Twins by 3.5 games. So definitely seems like, I mean, to me, it seems like more of a sell point than the Padres are in. And if the Padres are selling, that Tigers team is more than likely selling at this deadline. With all the young guys they have on their team and all the future aspirations they have for those guys, money probably getting a little bit tight, and Skubal is kind of ahead of schedule when it comes to the rest of the Tigers' development. I have seen Milwaukee floated as a possible top suitor, and I've seen the Los Angeles Dodgers. Of course it's them. They're always there. They've also been floated as a top suitor. I wanted to know your guys' thoughts on it a little bit. Nathan, we could start with you this time. I mean, based on my experience so far, I haven't really seen anybody else seriously connected to Skubal other than the Brewers and the Dodgers. I don't know if you guys have another team, but Nathan, starting with you, who would you say probably needs? It's probably a bad question, because, like, obviously the Brewers need him more than the Dodgers do. The Dodgers don't need anybody, but who do you think is the more likely team to really stick their neck out and go after Tarek Skubal?
I think, well, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question. Like I said, I think, teams maybe like Philly, Atlanta, they probably need, that's probably a need. And a want, especially with Milwaukee in there. Dodgers are always going to be sticking their neck out. They're always going to be interested. If you're a GM, would you rather have Skubal for a postseason run or your top three prospects for the next decade? I don't know, and that's going to be a question they're going to have to answer themselves. But it's a really interesting thing too, because in the rare scenario for him, after that surgery he had, 50 strikeouts under 2 ERA. I mean, he's dealing after he had that surgery. So basically, I mean, It's hard to say that. I don't know. I don't know. It's so hard because I kind of don't want him to. I don't want him to be traded. And if he goes to the Dodgers, I'm gonna be so mad. Also at Nick Palmer, but no. But I think everyone's gonna be sticking their neck out. That's a very hard question. That I don't have the answer for. But I think whichever team gets him, I mean, that's gonna be the betting odds for the World Series will be flipped in their favor for sure.
Love to see the Brewers land Scooble, as Tucker, you mentioned, they're definitely a possibility. Teaming up with Mizorowski and Nathan, you said earlier, if they get Freddie Peralta, imagine how scary that starting rotation could be come October. They played the Dodgers in the NLCS last year, and they were the best team in baseball, and they faced them, and they got swept in 4 games. So imagine you have 2 games where you're starting Mizorowski, you're starting Scooble. You can almost guarantee, you hope you win at least one of those two. And then from there, you gotta just kind of scrap your way to the finish line. Hope you can get those guys another start against Los Angeles. And the thing for the Dodgers is they're gonna be willing to make the move. They got the pieces to make that move, and it would just make them 10 times more scarier. And I don't know why they would need it, because it feels like they have so many guys on the roster, whether it's injured or not, that they just come and show up in October because they wait till they get their guys fully healthy, and then they have a complete roster. So this would just kind of be doing, I think, a little too much, but it would just make them an even harder force to take down, having Scooble going game one and the rest of that starting rotation, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Snell, just make the Dodgers 10 times more scarier. I do see maybe an NL East team like the Phillies or the Braves getting involved. They definitely could use it. They're in the mix there in the postseason. Obviously, Philly has high expectations. The Braves have high expectations this season too, because they've been so good as well at the top of the NL East. The Yankees have been thrown in the mix. I don't think they'll make the move because the starting rotation has been really good. And I don't think Cashman would make the move either way to sell some of those really good prospects they have, like Spencer Jones and George Lombard.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Yankees go in and upgrade starting pitching even more. Although, with how hamstrung they are with the positions that they do need to address, it might not be the worst thing in the world to go after pitching upgrades. I mean, that's why we were talking about Mason Miller earlier, but Tarek Skubal seems like even more of a stretch for this Yankee team. The Braves, really interesting concept there. I think pairing Skubal with a veteran left-hander like Sale could really maybe unlock a new gear for Tarek Skubal. And even if it doesn't, the two of them together in the same rotation would be really hard to stop for any team in the National League. If we're talking about the Dodgers and Brewers as the two lead teams for this, from a Milwaukee mindset, you played the Dodgers last year in the NLCS, like you mentioned, Anthony, and got like they wiped the floor with the Brewers last year, even though the Brewers had the best record in baseball. If you're Milwaukee and you are in the sweepstakes for Tarek Skubal against the Dodgers, you got to think about the postseason. And you got to think about if you meet the Dodgers in the NLCS again, how much are you going to regret it if you are now playing against Tarek Skubal as a Dodger in the National League Championship Series? Or how much you're going to be thanking yourself in the future if you went out and you got Tarek Skubal, even if he's just a rental for the end of the season? Whatever you gave up for Tarek Skubal, if he is pitching in a Brewers uniform against the Dodgers in the postseason, especially in a series like the NLCS, I think you absolutely make that move like 10 out of 10 times if you're the Milwaukee Brewers. It's going to be really interesting to see as we get down to the deadline who can land Tarek Skubal if they do manage to. I think if Detroit can find a way, they should try to lock him down because he's the first really good pitching prospect that they've had in a long time, and a guy that you can build a rotation around. But yeah, I mean that just about wraps things up for us on our last episode of Nosebleeds before the trade deadline. The next one is going to be on the other side, likely of August 3rd. And so, I mean, at that point, we'll be able to break down all of the moves that got made. But things still relatively quiet as we approach the last few days before the deadline. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Nathan Rogers for getting up bright and early to join us this morning. Thanks to Anthony Smith, as always. And I have been Tucker Austin. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.